At the hotel where we're staying in East Jerusalem, evacuees from the communities on the border with Gaza have started to show up on the eve of what appears to be Israel's ground invasion of Gaza. One of them is Slil Dimli from the southern city Sderot. She's here with her husband Ariel and their four children watching a concert put on for the displaced families. Living in a city right on the Gaza border, they're used to hiding in their safe room when Hamas rockets are fired. But Saturday, when Hamas militants actually entered the city, it evoked a new fear.
It's crazy. Now, it's not just being the safe room. It's knowing that people can enter to your home and to kill you in your bed.
They won't go back home unless Israel takes over Gaza and takes out Hamas. You can feel the trauma and anger here in East Jerusalem, but it's more intense in the south, along the border with Gaza, the front line of this war between Israel and Hamas. In Rahat, an Israeli city about 20 miles from the border with Gaza, the sound of military planes is constant overhead. On the day we get to town, people are in mourning. Among them, NPR producer Noha Muslih and I find Sheikh Hassan Abu Ghalioun.
Welcome.
Thank you.
In Rahat village.
Thank you so much.
I ask where he's returning from.
Janaza.
Oh, they're coming back from the funeral. All these cars. There's one, two, three, four cars coming back. Abu Ghalioun is the tribal reconciliation chief in the city. He solves feuds, resolves marital disputes, but this war is something he cannot solve.
Both sides are losing. No one wins in a war. People only lose in a war.
He's returning from the burial of Tariq Muhammad, who was killed when Hamas attacked on Saturday. In total, 17 people from their community were killed, he says. One entire family lost their lives.
A rocket fell 30 meters away from their tent. The kids got out of their tent to see what was going on. Just as they're returning to their tent, another rocket came and killed them.
The dead are brought here, home to the only Muslim cemetery in the area. Hamas didn't seem to discriminate among its victims. The dead included Jewish people, Arabs, women, and children. But the pain they carry, it's different. Their relatives are suffering loss, fear, and anger on all sides.
I'm an Arab Israeli who has relatives in the Gaza Strip and also in the West Bank. And I have relatives here. We already have people who are killed and we have people who are kidnapped. My heart is bleeding for the ones in the east side or the ones on the west side. All of them are the sons of Adam.
He walks us down the road. The phone in his pocket constantly blares with air raid sirens warning of incoming rockets from Hamas. Then we stop at what looks like a cafe, a concrete room with a corrugated tin roof. Men are gathered inside to mourn with Hamd Kamalat. The man they buried is his 35-year-old son.
They shot him.
He was among many killed in the nearby town of Afokin when Hamas militants breached the border. I just wonder if you could talk about how you're feeling about this war, about what's happening, about your safety.
All of us feel the same. This is not a situation that only involves me. It involves everybody.
What is that feeling?
Only God knows how I feel.
He points in the air, pauses, then looks down at the concrete floor.
I have pain.
The sheikh told me he has family here, in the West Bank, in Gaza. Do you also have family everywhere? You also have family in Gaza? And you have family in Gaza?
Yeah.
Does everybody here have family in Gaza? They say they are all one extended family, the Kamalats. Some live here and some live there. A man sitting nearby, Muhammad Kamalat, holds up his phone.
We try to communicate with them over WhatsApp, but we're unable to reach them.
It must be so strange to be having somebody that you're burying here on this side that was killed inside Israel and having people you can't call in Gaza. What is that like, to have family on both sides like that?
There, we don't know if they're alive or dead. And here, we have a state of war.
In Gaza, 1,500 people have been killed in Israeli airstrikes, many women and children. I asked Tariq's father, Hamd, who he blames for this war.
This question I cannot answer.
In this city, it's a sensitive question. They don't want to criticize Hamas, which rules the Gaza Strip, because they have family there and several members of their community are being held hostage. Or the government here in Israel, where they live and are citizens. So there's a lot that's left unsaid. Mohammed Kamalat, though, blames all.
The leadership in Israel and the leadership in Palestine. These are the two entities that I blame.
Hamas, whose attack on Israel was a clear declaration of war, and Israel's far-right government that's carried out a policy of annexation and eviction of Palestinians in occupied territories that's killed the reality of any possible two-state solution. We say goodbye to the men. Then Tariq's mother, Karima Kamalot, arrives.
Adham Allahu ajrahum. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
I pay my condolences and ask about her son.
Tariq saw people gathered. He went, he joined the gathering. Suddenly, the bullet was in his head.
When did you realize something's wrong?
When we found out that he was dead, we wanted to go see him. We could not reach whatsoever. There were dead bodies everywhere, and no one was allowed to reach that area.
And how did you finally get him?
On the third day, they said they had killed the guys with guns. I went outside and we were started searching for the bodies and I found my son.
I'm so sorry for your loss. He was taken to the morgue and it was 2 days later, on this day, the family could finally bury him.
There were too many dead bodies. So it took them a while to release his body.
As we leave, there is an audible reminder of the war near us.
Hey. Yalla, yalla.
Okay, let's get out of here.
Rockets being fired by Hamas. In Rahat, there is only one shelter, a sign of the lack of infrastructure in this city. So everyone stands outside in the open and waits until the booms stop.